is always around 1 hour, and we've got a lot done in that 1 hour. So it's a big schus. I'll introduce later Rav Chalap. It's a big schus that Rav Chalap is able to take time out from his busy schedule to join us at the Mesiba this year, and we're very much makir tov to him. And it's a big schus, and we'll introduce Rav Chalap later before he speaks. I'd like to thank my wife and my son Yisrael Pilchas are here as well. We have a schus as well to have our shul meishiv, Rabbi Gedalia Berger, here as well, who you all are familiar with. And as we always have at the Mesiba, big schus to have Mrs. Chaya Gordin, who was the librarian in the fifth floor of the Gottesman Library for over 40 years, B'li Ayin Hara. And a lot of the Sfarim that appear in these packets are only because Chaya was able to show me where they are. And it's a big schus to have her with her. I'd like to share one short idea with you, and then I'll introduce the other speakers. The Gemara says in the famous sugya in Shabbos of Mai Chanukah, the reasons why Chanukah was established, and then the Gemara says, Lashona Acheres, Kovim Va'asum Yomim Tovim B'Halel V'Hodah. That Lashona Acheres, that the next year they made it into a chag, a celebration that will be a yearly celebration. And the question that is raised is, why Lashana Acheres? Why didn't they establish it right away as a festival for the future years? What does it mean, Lashana Acheres? So the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Marditchev, has a whole discussion. We won't be able to read the whole thing now, but he raises this question. Among other questions on page 3, he discusses that there were other miracles. The Milchama of Sisra, Milchama of Sanheriv, there were other significant Milchamos in Jewish history that were important, that we never made a special yontif to commemorate these particular nisim. Why, by the Nes Chanukah, Chazal chose to make it on a yearly basis a zman of halal and hodah. And he asks the question, what's Lashona Acheres on the second column? So he explains the following. He says that sometimes there's a nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed, and that nes was a one-time thing. Klal Yisrael needed a certain Yeshua, and Hashem provided the Yeshua, and that's it. But sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a nes, he therefore imbues in that day special kochos and special skulos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbues in that day, and every year on that particular day, those kochos and those skulos emerge again. And says the Kedushas Levi in the second column, page 3, Zel Lashana Acheres. In other words, they won't be able to tell right away what type of nes this was. Was this a one-time thing to help for the Yeshua? Or was this something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now implanted in the mahus of this day that it'll resonate every day on that particular calendaric day, Ladoros? And that's Lashona Acheres. Because only Lashona Acheres, when they tried to establish it, and Chazal in their infinite Ruach HaKodesh were able to feel something special resonate in that particular day, they knew that this was not just a yontif, a one-time thing for the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. This is something that's going to be celebrated on a yearly basis. And that, says the Kedushas Levi, is what it means by Yomim Haheim Bazman Hazeh. That by Yomim Haheim there was Yeshua, but Bazman Hazeh, that Koach, and that special school of today resonates Bazman Hazeh as well. This Kedushas Levi reminded me as well of the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. The Gemara in Megillah on page 4, Yudalad Amun Aleph, discusses the establishment of Purim and how they were able to establish it. And the Gemara quotes a Kal Vachomer, May Abdus Lecheirus Amrin and Shira, May Misa Lechayim Lokol Shekein. That is a Kal Vachomer, if May Abdus Lecheirus, when Kal Yisrael went from Mitzrayim, May Abdus Lecheirus, they sang Shira, so May Misa Lechayim Lokol Shekein. So says the Chasam Sofer, page 5, a Kal Vachomer we know is a Din D'Oraisa. It's a Din D'Oraisa Kal Vachomer. And says the Chasam Sofer an unbelievable thing on the bottom of page 5. The kvias yomoad biyomasias neis u kalvachomer d'oraisa. Ulafi anias daiti lefize yom purim mechanica d'oraisa. Says the Chasam Sofer that even though Purim and Chanukah are not in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but the idea of celebrating Purim and celebrating Chanukah is a din d'oraisa because of this kalvachomer. And therefore, says like this, the particular things that we do on Purim and Chanukah are all derabbanan, as we know. But if somebody would go through the 8 days of Chanukah and not do anything special to commemorate the Nes, he would be violating a Daraisa. He would be remiss on a Daraisa that he was lacking in proper recognition of these days. Over the Eino Osa Shum Zecher LeMechanical Borum Over Al Mitzvahs Essay Daraisa. And in fact, this Shuvas Chasam Sofer is quoted by the important Shuva by Rav Meshulam Roth, who was a Gon Adir, or later of Melech Shechter, lived in the town where Rav Meshulam Roth was the Rav, and he wrote the famous tshuva about celebrating Yom Ha'atzma'ut. And he quotes this tshuva's Chasam Sofer as an important marker of that every year on that particular day, it behooves us to celebrate. So I put this together in my mind with the Kedushas Levi, that the idea is that every year on that particular day, the Kedusha, the Koach, the Skula, ascends upon us and gives us special inspiration. It's not a one-time thing. Maybe the Milchama of Sisra, Sancheiriv, were one-time things that brought a Yeshua, and that was it. But Chanukah is Bayomim Mahem Bazman Hazeh. On page 6, I mentioned the Netziv. The Netziv disagrees with the Chasam Sofer. The Netziv in the Shiltos, in his parish on the Shiltos, quotes the Chasam Sofer. He calls him Hagon Hatzadik. Chasam Sofer, the Kviyas Yomoyin on Nesla Olam in HaTorah. So he feels no. Lo Nira Klal, that he feels that it's only on the year of the Yeshua is it there, is a Chiv. But for the purposes of our drasha here today, we're working along the lines of the Chasam Sofer and the Kedushas Levi, that the Kedusha emanates. But I want to tie it in with one last idea, and that's the words of the Bnei Yisoschar. This is a nice new printing that just came out of the Bnei Yisoschar, and he says the idea of Mahadrin. We know there's Ner Yishu Beso, that the Iker Halacha, you could be Yotze, one candle for the whole household. But we Masakin Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. And he explains the idea of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, Mahadrin from the Lashon Mahadir, Chazara, that when a person learns something and then he reviews it, so in the fourth column, every time he reviews it, you tosef or lechol echad b'fnei atzmo, moli kol echad sichlios chadashim, arevim u'mesukim lenefesh v'laguf. Every time you learn something and you review it again, it emerges again. And now you rethink it and you understand it in a different context and in a different perspective. But once you have it mushrash in you, just like the Nes of Chanukah, every year comes back again, and we have hashpah from it, so too, Rabosai, the Ner Mitzvah, the Torah that we learn, especially now that we're doing Chazara, The point of doing chazara is that the Torah you learn shouldn't be a one-time thing, and over v'chalaflo. It should be that every time we're learning the sugyas of Bari Priya Gofen and the sugyas of Bari Priya Eitz and these things, and every time when in your life where you're going to have these things, it's going to resonate again, and you're going to remember the sugyas and the Rishonim and the issues that we had with Bari Priya Gofen and Birkas Hanenin and all these things, because Torah has to be Mahadrim and Mahadrim, Mimi, we Choser and Choser on it again, so it should be something that's Mushrash Bisochenu. So years later, you'll remember, oh, we made a Bari Priya Gofen. We remember the whole discussion, what type of bracha it is. Is it a brachas hanenin, brachas sheva, whatever we discuss on these topics. The halachas that we discussed of dalad minim and sukkah shiurim every year. It's going to not only the mitzvahs, but all the halachas will resonate again. And that's the goal. The goal is that Torah should become mushras b'sochenu. And mahadrin min a mahadrin means we're chozer, chozer, ner l'chol echad ve'echad. That it's not enough that one person lights. Not enough that the Rebbe learned that he tells over. But every Talmud has to be part of the learning process. That's why we give out the packets. You can learn it yourself. You go inside again and again and review it and see from your own perspective. And then every year and every time, it's going to Be'ezus Hashem resonate again and again, just like the Nes of Chanukah. That's why he entitled it Nes Chanukah Torah Shebal Peh Vayomi Mahem Bazman Hazeh. That just like the Nes Chanukah, the Kedushas Levi and the Chasam Sofer say, every year it comes back and back, so too the Torah Shebal Peh that we learn together should be part of your life. Menetzach Netzachim. And it only will be that if we're Mahadrin Min a Mahadrin. We go over it and rethink it. And then every year when we think about it again, we're a more mature individual and we'll understand it even better. We'll have broader perspectives about it. And every year it'll be Nitosev Mosif Aholech. And that is the Nes Chanukah Torah Shebal Peh by Yomi Mahaim Bazman Hazeh.
Shalom Carmi. Sarah.
Gedalia Berger, the Shol Meshiv in our Beis Medrash, who you all know very well, and it's good to have him here to share Divrei Torah as well.
The truth is that it's my zechus, the zechus to be here, and also the zechus, I think I have the biggest zechus among all the Shol Meshiv, to be able to be a part of a shiur like Rabbi Simon, to be able to spend every day with Rabbi Simon, a very special thing. Not too many shiurim, not too many rebbeim have get-togethers like this. It's something that's very special to be a part of. The truth is that Rabbi Simon's first makor on the packet that he gave out leads very nicely into the Dvar Torah that I wanted to say here today as well. The Gemara says that that Chazal were kvaam v'asam yomim tovim b'halal v'hoda, that Halal was set up by Chazal as a yontif for Halal and Hoda. And it always bothered me. Why is it that Hanukkah was established only as Yomim of Halal and Hoda, and not as an actual Yontif? There's no Isser Malacha on Hanukkah. It's not the same as Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And the fact that it's a Durabanan is not a good enough explanation for that. Chazal were able to be Misakein all sorts of things. Why didn't they, when they decided to be Misakein this new holiday, this new Yontif, why didn't they establish an Isser Malacha on Hanukkah, just like on Shabbos and Yontif? And I realize that the answer to this question, in a certain sense, is right there in the text of Al-Hanisim. There's a section of Al-Hanisim, as we all know, in which the tefillah gives five different descriptions of the two sides in our fight with the Yavanim, in its description of the miracle of our victory. Masar tegibarim biyad chalashim, v'rabim biyad ma'atim, utmeim biyad tahorim, urishayim biyad tzadikim, v'zeidim biyad oskei sorasecha. That group of five different contrasts is obviously divided into two sections, right? Giborim biyad chalashim, v'rabim biyad ma'atim is a description of why this was miraculous. It was miraculous because the few were victorious over the many, and it was miraculous because the chalashim, the weak, were victorious over the strong. And the last three are not a description of why it was miraculous, but rather a description of why the nes happened. It happened because the victors were the Tehorim and the Tzadikim and the Oskim B'Torah, and that's why they were Zocha to that Nes, to be able, despite the fact that they were the Ma'atim and they were the Chalashim, to overcome the Rabim and the Giborim. But the problem here is that the Nes, the first two that supposedly describe the Nes, would appear, if you think about it, to be inaccurate. It's not true. Is it really true that there were more Roman soldiers stationed in Eretz Yisrael than there were Jews in Eretz Yisrael? Hard to imagine that the Jews did not vastly outnumber the Romans in the land of Israel. And is it true that it was Giborim Biyad Chalashim? The Chashmonaim were Chalashim, they were weak. We always hold them up as these paradigms of bravery and of great military might. Yehuda HaMakabi is not somebody we would call a chalash. So it's l'chora not even true that it was giborim biyad chalashim. We also had our giborim. So both descriptions appear to be simply not true. Perhaps the explanation for that is that these two things which are not true become true when you put the two of them together. True that the Maccabim were Giborim, but the Maccabim were also very few. There weren't, true there were many, many, many more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than there were Romans, but the vast majority of those Jews weren't fighting. The vast majority of those Jews didn't join the Maccabim in this war against the Yavanim. And in fact, as we know, many of them were actually on the other side, the Misyavnim, who joined forces with the Yavanim. So despite the fact that those Jews who were fighting were Giborim, because they were the ones who were fighting were only Ma'atim, were only a few, therefore they were Chalashim, right? The if you put together all of the Jewish soldiers, they were very weak in comparison with the numerous Roman army, Roman soldiers who were overall had much greater gevura than those few fighters that the Jewish people had. And herein, in a sense, lies the tragedy of Hanukkah. The tragedy of Hanukkah, Hanukkah is of course a Yom of Simcha. We celebrate, it's not a tragedy. But the tragedy of Hanukkah is that we needed the Nes to begin with. If in fact all the rest of the Jews had joined the fight, if the whole Jewish people had joined together with the Maccabim, then we wouldn't have been Ma'atim, we would have been Rabim. And since we would have been the Rabim, we also would have been the Giborim. And we wouldn't have needed Masarta. We wouldn't have needed the Ribbono Shel Olam's Nes to help us win this victory. But in fact, that's not what happened. And the Maccabim and Matisyahu and his children needed to stand up and fight, despite the fact that they were the few. And because they were Tehorim and Tzadikim and Oskim B'Torah, they were Zocha to a Nes that allowed them to win, a Nes that allowed them to win this victory over the Yavanim. We celebrate Hanukkah. And part of what Hanukkah is trying to teach us is that our responsibility is to follow the model of those Maccabim. Why did, when Chazal instituted the Yontif of Hanukkah, why did they just make it a day of Halal and Hoda? Why didn't they make an Isser Malacha? Because the message of Hanukkah is not to rest. The whole message of Hanukkah is not Yom Hashvi Tishbos. The whole message of Hanukkah is Sheshes Yamim Tavod. The whole message of Hanukkah is don't be like those legions of Jews who, when Matisyahu got up and said Mila Shem Elai, did nothing. They sat and they rested. We need to follow the model of those people who stood up to fight, who went out and did something, who didn't watch what was going on as Yiddishkeit was disappearing, as the flame was going out, and sit back to rest. We need to follow the model of the Chashmonaim. And that's why Chazal didn't institute an Isser Malacha, because they didn't want Hanukkah to be associated with sitting back and resting. They wanted Hanukkah to be associated with going out and doing. And so, excuse me. And so, when we look for inspiration to our models on Hanukkah, to Yehuda HaMakabi and to his brothers and to Matisyahu and to those people who did answer his call, so we are looking to follow in their models as tzaddikim, as tahorim, as oskim b'torah, as people who, if we were to need it, hopefully we would be zocha to a nes min hashamayim, but more so, to follow their model that they were the ma'atim. They were the ma'atim who stood up and fought when they saw that Yiddishkeit needed defense. When they saw the future of Yiddishkeit hanging in the balance, they didn't just rely on the fact that they were tahorim and tzaddikim and oskim b'torah, but they got themselves together, they were the few giborim, and they got up to fight. And we hopefully, if we get the message of Hanukkah properly, we'll learn to follow that model, and that when we hear the call, as we unfortunately do every day looking around the world around us, when we hear the call of Mila Hashem Elai, who will come forward to fight for the future of Yiddishkeit, that we won't be the people who sit back and do nothing, it won't be Shabbos for us, but it will be Sheshes Yomim Tavo, that we will follow the model of Yehuda and get up to fight and fight for the future of Yiddishkeit.
Okay, the our keynote speaker for the Mesiba this year, Rabbi Chalap, actually he was supposed to be our keynote speaker last year, but something came up, so we're Zocher now Lashon Acheres, as we said before, to have Rabbi Chalap with us. Needless to say, Rabbi Chalap is the koach, the lev and nefesh of our yeshiva in so many ways, benigle uvenister, and it's a tremendous chus for myself, for everyone here, to have him with us, because he has given to the yeshiva in so many countless ways, and has a personal effect on myself and effect on all the Talmidim in the yeshiva. So without any further ado, Rabbi Zvul Karlach.
Thank you very much. It is the schus, in paraphrase, or really merely to repeat what Rabbi Beria says, the schus is ours to be called here and to participate in this joyous simcha, the simcha of Torah, as well as simchas Chanukah, and it's the same thing. Of course, or is Torah, ner mitzvah, Torah or. So Torah is or. And to be here, of course, with Rav Simon, who has become really, and he is, a superstar, if we can use this term, in our yeshiva. And Baruch Hashem, we are blessed with a very great Rosh Yeshiva. And then I said it before, I don't believe in the history of yeshiva. In the aggregate, we ever had together so much Torah and Yerushalayim as we have today. And we've had Dole Hador here in the years past, from Europe, the great Rosh Yeshiva. And every time there were a few stars, and there were others, there were all Gedolim, but the impact that they had upon the students, every one of them, and then in unison, I don't think it reaches or measures up to what we have today. Maybe I'm thinking of the present, and I'm part of that present, and I sense it more. I want to just say a few things. First of all, many of the things that were said here triggered me to ideas, and I hope that I'll be able to tether these ideas so we'll be able to stay within a certain time, because I have an important I'm having a meeting with you from another. I just want to share with you at the beginning what happened this past Shabbos night. Never occurred to me before. My children made a surprise Hanukkah party, and it was really a surprise. There's really nobody in there. I had one family here who stayed with me, who stays every Shabbos. I have a different member of my family stays. Shabbos was here and then cleaned up, and they were telling me they were about to leave. And this was about to leave, somebody else came in. Before you knew it, there was a big celebration for Hanukkah. And then we exchanged the Divrei Torah, and I was listening as to my sons-in-law were arguing one with the other. I was joining them. And I have a son-in-law who's really probably the only one. He's the only one who's not a Ram or a Yeshiva or a Rav. He happens to be in the Catholic. But he is a Yirei Shemayim, high order, and he learns every day by himself. And he suddenly asked us a question that never occurred to me before. I cannot believe that no one says this. And he asked me a question. He said, "Do you know we have a special halacha that we're supposed to light Neros Chanukah, and there's a time frame when you light. You have to light it right as it becomes dark, and you're supposed to light it Achetich LeRegel Min HaShuk, until people stop coming, walking the streets. Don't come to the stores anymore, because they used to have a main street like you have in America, many of the small towns, and everybody comes to the main street. And then when business closes, the main street is dark and dead, and no one is there anymore. And it's mitzvah of Chanukah is presuming Nisa." So he says he was learning Menachos now. And there is another Achetichle Regel Menashev. There's only one, huh?
Tfilin.
What's the other one?
Tfilin.
Tfilin, yeah, Tfilin. I said two more. I couldn't find a second. I got worried. By Tfilin, it's Achetichle Regel Menashev. The machlok is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov. Until when can you put on Tfilin? So the Chachamim said you can only put Tfilin until the Shkiyas Achama, until the sun goes down. And after the sun goes down, it's not the Zman Tefillin, you don't put on Tefillin. But Rabbi Yaakov comes along and says, Achetichle Regel Min Hashur. He says, as far as he knows, these are the only two places that use this very unusual and striking term, Achetichle Regel Min Hashur. So what connection is there between Tefillin and Chanukah? And everybody started to wonder, and I don't want to mention names, so they are Rosh Kolim, Rosh Yeshiva, the whole group was there. And you'll get you to think, and I'm sure that some of you may think of something better yet. So I immediately said, oh, I'm, as if I knew this question before, and I really didn't know. And I said, you know, because Tfilin has a special din, the din of Re'iyah, there's a Re'iyah by Ner Hanukkah, and there's a Re'iyah by Tfilin. Of course, the Re'iyah by Tfilin, with regard to Tfilin, is different than Re'iyah. Over there, we have to make, that's part of the mitzvah. We have to light the candle, that it should be seen. That's the Hadlokas Neros and Chanukah. It should be seen. That's Pirsumei Nisa. That's the Pirsumei Nisa. But there's also Pirsumei Nisa of a different order when it comes to, there's a curse to me when it comes to Tfilin. Tfilin, I can put Tfilin, that I don't have to necessarily go into a Rishu Sarabim, and people don't have to see me putting on Tfilin. But nonetheless, the world knows that I'm putting on Tfilin. That's what and that's been HaTorah. That's not only Chazal. That's the Torah, that everybody should see it. Even though they don't see it, they know I'm wearing these Tfilin. It just occurred to me, I didn't think I was going to say, I happen to have been in China several times, and I have a very close Chinese friend who was very up in the, his uncle was one of the four marshals that ran China. So he invited me to come to China, this is in the 90s, and I was one of the first people that were allowed from the West. Now everybody can go to China. And he said he's going to take me to the wall. I was in Beijing, and Beijing is several hours away, or an hour and a half, or 2 hours away from me, the Great Wall. And he's going to take me to what gets very hot, he tells me, in the daytime. So you should leave early in the morning. So he takes me to the wall. He picks me up about a quarter after 5:30, I don't know. Or maybe earlier, about a quarter after 4. We got to the wall about 5:30. And the sun is already coming up. And I took my tefillin with me. And on that trip, I had my wife, Zichrona Levracha. So she was there with me, and I took my tefillin, I took the talis, and I put on my talis, and I put on my tefillin. There were not too many people on the wall yet. Before you know it, people came. By the time I finished davening, there were several hundred people of all over China, and they're different. You know, you think China are small people, they got slanted eyes, but there are Chinese people from that look, you know, like they look white, and as we do, they look very much like we do, and they're tall, 6'4", 6'5". It's amazing, because different parts of Mongolia, different parts of China, and they all come to visit Beijing. Before you knew it, there were several hundred people, and I have it all on a film, which I've never really reviewed again after that, which shows this this thing, watching me put on tefillin. And they want to know what, and he said, he starts, I'm a holy man. And they said, oh, holy man. They were. I asked him what he told him. He said, I told him, you're a holy man. And this, so it's a ro chalame oretz, kishem arishem, nikrola. So there's a din. So I asked myself, what is Rabbi Yaakov? So this is like a general hope and aspiration that the world will know we put on tefillin. They'll understand kishem arishem, nikrola. But it's not the same thing as one of the prerequisites of a mitzvah, one of the requirements of a mitzvah. So what is this baruch cholai me'aretz? So it occurred to me that what he was saying is, if the Torah uses the term v'ro, so ro means it has to be a time when you be seen. It doesn't mean day or night. V'ro has to be when you see it, when you can't see it. A lot of people put on their menorah and there's nobody in the street, so you're still yaitzeh the mitzvah. You're doing it at a time when people can't see it. If people can see it, then you're fulfilling the mitzvah, even if they don't see it at that moment. Then you see it later. You're not sure. Maybe nobody will see it. We have, of course, a question. If you live on a 20th or 30th floor, and it could be only the Esther Mamas, how do you explain the Gemara and everything? But the thing is, we have to say it from that floor on, because there are other houses around that they also have 20, 30 floors. Uh-huh. So they can see it. That is the understanding that we have. But maybe nobody will see it. Because if I live here and they're around me, there are office buildings, and nobody's even in the office building at that time. So it means that I have to put on the tefillin, that the tefillin is a time when people can see it, even if it doesn't happen. And that, I think, is really the b'shat, the roch, olam yareth, ki shem ad Hashem, nikra lecha. The other thing is, I'm going to do this very briefly because the time is very limited for me. And that is, but it sent off a lot of sparks, and really much of it is based on several things that I heard from my father, Zeichat Tzadikah Bracha. And that is that you should know when it says, my Chanukah, and this is I only felt today. and then we have somebody go, my chayka. So Rashi says, al eizenes. What does it mean al eizenes? Chanukah is different than Purim. Purim, Rabbi Simon mentioned the Chasam Sofer, that's Meraisa. If you say, me Abdus Lecheres, it's Kalvachomer, me Miso Lechayim. So he said, but Chanukah is altogether different. Chanukah does not celebrate the triumph of the Maccabees, and I'm going to come back to what you, the Maccabees over the Greeks. Chanukah celebrates the Ness. It is the only holiday where we don't celebrate the event that happened on that day. Whether it's Sukkot, we celebrated, we were in Sukkot, and Pesach, we went out of Mitzrayim, and choose to receive Matan Torah, and every time it's the event. Chanukah doesn't celebrate the event. It doesn't celebrate the Mitzvah. Chanukah celebrates the Ness on the menorah. And that's why it was Lashon HaAcheres. Lashon HaAcheres doesn't mean the next year. Lashon HaAcheres means a year later, sometime later. It could have been 50 years later, it could have been 40 years. The rabbis were really done this question. They were really contemplating this. Do you make a holiday, a day, to commemorate a Ness that happened later on? Doesn't commemorate the Ness itself, the miracle itself. And that was something that really preoccupied them. And why did they veer and deviate from what is normally done? Because, as Rabbi Gedalia Schwerger said to us, but it's even more. He said that we were passive, that the overwhelming majority of Jews are passive. The truth of the matter was that it was a civil war. The Hellenists fought against them. The Hellenists were Jews. It could be that the majority of the enemies the Maccabees faced on the battleground were not the Goyim, were the Jews. That's the way history has read that this event. And it was there. Therefore, the Chazal said, he won a great victory. How can we celebrate a victory where there were so many kabbanos that were brought about by ourselves? We killed them, they killed us, and they were Jews. So therefore, this is not a message. And that's why I say, what bracha? They don't ask by Purim, what bracha do you make on Megillah? They ask over here, what bracha you make? Because it's a different kind of commemoration in entirely. So, first of all, you know, we find that divide like that in our time. I hope we will never, Rachmana Litzlan, a Jew will have to raise hand against you. Chas v'chalila, it won't happen. But it is a past where we have a never growing Jewish community devoted and dedicated to Hashem more than before, ever before, becoming more intensified. And yet, on the other hand, there's a greater and a larger community also of Jews who are just opting out, willy-nilly or deliberately, just going out. And it's a battle. How are we going to do this? And that's what we really are concerned about today. So Emir Tashem, we will have a Ness, and we'll be able to make a holiday, and that'll be the final Ness, with B'ez Mashiach, and that should be the Peir of Yemenu. That'll be, we'll be able to celebrate a holiday, because they said that holiday will supersede Pesach, and was able to supersede, you know, and it'll be a holiday on the day itself, on the event that we celebrate, and that's something that happened after the event, after the victory.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. Suppose we have a quick recount.
Yes.
Or Chadash
Bye.